Jesus, come and walk through our lives. Tonight I ask you'll come, Lord, as the lover of our soul, and you'll come and open old doors. Old rooms of darkness, of bondage, that is crippling us, Lord God. Father, I ask now that through your word and the interest of your word, God, you will make your light to shine upon every dark place in our lives, Lord. Because your word, Lord God, makes the simple wise. Your word, God, causes light to fall upon our path. And we thank you tonight, Holy Spirit, as the word goes out, which cannot return void, that you will show us Christ and him crucified and him high and lifted up. Jesus, this is all about you. And tonight, Lord, we are just hearing you knocking on the doors of our hearts. And church, if you are sitting here and you are feeling the knocking of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus on your heart, I want to welcome you just to open up. Don't keep him outside. He loves you so much. Amen. Well, good evening. My name is Yaku. It's wonderful to have so many of you here. I feel warm as I preach now after such amazing worship. Amen? Let's have some coffee and tea and we go home. But then Theo's going to be angry with me. Now, it's a wonderful privilege, and I want to thank you, and I want to thank the Lord for this opportunity. It's really a privilege. It's to spend yourself for the kingdom. And I really want to believe that this word is from the throne of God for all of us. And so I just want to invite you to open your heart. Don't look at me. Don't look at, you know, just close your eyes. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures. So I hope you have your sword with you. Who has his sword with him? A soldier of God has got his sword on his side, eh? Otherwise, we are already defeated. Amen? We have a real enemy, but the word is a sword. So I want you to page through me, make notes with me, as this is, guys, a very, 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 very simple message. And it's not new revelation I'm sharing. It's not new stuff, but it's always the old stuff which we must revisit, which is so powerful, which has been challenging me this last week, the last few months, and I just thought, God, it's amazing. So tonight I want to talk to you about the great exchange. It's something which we see in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation all over. It's a funny principle. It's a funny thing God does. It's a funny symbolism God gives us. But it's so powerful and it's so amazing if we see it, understand it, and if we jump into this river, if we jump onto this tram which Theo is talking about, and we just go with God. And we allow him to shape us, to move us. And like I said, at Bible School on Tuesday night, is we many times want to do so many things for the Lord, but we never want to go. And my theology is as you are going, things happen. It's as you are going, lives are being touched, lives are being changed. It's not while we're sitting and doing nothing. It is as you're going. The kingdom is an active thing. The kingdom is coming. God says, my kingdom is coming. God is on the move. Amen. And like the stream, God is on the move. God has got a plan A, and the church is that plan. And we might say, yes, God, I'm in. I want to move with you. Amen? Otherwise, we're going to be like those five virgins, which is not going to be ready. God, in his mercy, wants everybody included, but it's our decision. And that's a hard fact. And we almost say, God, give me oil. I want to be ready for when you appear. And tonight, guys, Jesus appeared here. And he's still here. And he is the word. And tonight his word want to touch your heart and change you. Amen. So welcome to all our visitors. Let's start reading with me in Mark 15. About a very well known story. Then the soldiers led him, Jesus, away into the hall. And they called together the whole garrison. That's the army of the Roman soldiers. And they clothed him with purple. They clothed the purple. And they twist a crown of thorns. Put it on his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to be crucified. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated the place of skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. He was a good Christian. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days. Save yourself. Come on. And come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking among themselves with the scribes and said, "He saves others. Himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we might see and believe." Even those who crucified him reviled him. Who were crucified with him reviled him. And guys, we all know that Jesus was crucified between two thieves. The one asked for forgiveness, the other one rebelled, and the rest is history. But tonight I want to talk to us about the message of the cross. And what is the message to us for today as the church? What is the effect on us? What does it mean in very, very, very simple terms? We all know this. So I want you now not to just shut off and say screensaver. Jink, jink, jink. I want you to engage, okay? Because the Lord wants to do business with us tonight. Amen? And one thing in my study on this and my readings in my quiet time is that I realized that the Apostle Paul had such a passion for this message. It is the one thing he went so far with. He went with this message unto Rome to be crucified for this message. That Christ came to die for our sins. He was buried and raised again from the dead. Amen. So tonight is all about good news, church. Amen. The good news about the cross. The good news about Jesus did for you and for me. And if you go and read, especially in the book of Galatians, the whole book of Galatians is an argument where Paul fights for the message of the cross. We came up to Pharisees, and the Pharisees today it resembles people groups that want to change and squash the message of the cross. The message of the cross is grace plus nothing. It's not grace plus works, grace plus whatever. It's grace plus nothing. That's the message of the cross. You are saved through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? So nowadays, guys, I want to challenge as a church, you in your business, you in your school, wherever you are, you need to defend the message of the cross. We see all the names. We see the Islams. We see the Hebrew roots. We see the all the lightest want to change the gospel of Christ into something else. Paul died for. He said, "What different gospel are you hearing? Not the gospel that I was preaching." Look at what he said at this church in Corinth. This was his heart for the church. He says, "I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to know nothing about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness. He was a real man in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." That's me tonight. I'm not going to say with us deep, "I saw three angels next to Jesus saying, 'I love you, I love you.' No. I can't. But in a demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." And guys, what I realize is all these other people that want to squash the message of the cross all comes with human wisdom and ideas about what the cross means for us today. And I want to challenge that in Jesus' name, in the spirit realm, and say, Christ came to die for us, to save us from our sins. That's it, full stop. And we must have a passion to defend this gospel of Paul and of Jesus. Look at what he said in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." Romans 1 says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, it's the power of God unto salvation. For the Jew first and for the Gentile." The gospel, the message of the cross, guys, is the message of the power of God unto salvation. Amen? That's what I want to share with you tonight. So are we going to stand up and say, "God, I'm going to give my life for this message. To defend this message with all that I have." You will see on media, you will see your friends, you will hear about your... What so many things that wants to break down this message of Christ. Isn't that true? And we must say no. With me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? So what will you guys do to start with? What do you think, guys, is the message of the cross? Jesus crucified, says Morris. Salvation. Eternal life. What is the message of the cross? God's love for this world. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is saying, "For I determined to know first of all, for which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel, that He was buried, that He was rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Paul is saying, "I'm giving you what I've received." What is he talking about? Was this a man-made theology he's now sucking out of his thumb? What is Galatians? Galatians says he was more than 14 years out in the desert. God appeared, I believe Jesus appeared to him, taught him himself. I'm giving you what I received from Christ himself. This message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he died for our sins, guys. So the first thing the cross represents for me and for you is the payment for our sins. Amen? If you think about the message, the first thing about the cross is the payment for your and my sin. Why is that so necessary? Why did Jesus have to die for you and for me? Why? Do you think he just wants to be cool and just did this massive stunt which we can make movies of nowadays and make him a superstar? No. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, our sins separate us from God. There was a big dilemma when man sinned in the Garden of Eden. And God's heart was with us to walk with us every single day in the cool of the day as he walked with Adam. That's God's heart for all of us. So if you're sitting here today, outside the love of Christ, outside Christ himself, then God wants to draw you. God wants to have fellowship with you every single day. Amen? Our sins separated us from Christ. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, that all of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Meaning we have got no hope in ourselves. Amen? We are lost. We are born with sinful natures. So this morning I ask, and I want to ask you, are we born... When you get born as a baby, are you born a Christian? Guys, I thought this morning I said, you can sleep in a garage for 15 years thinking you're going to become a car. It's not going to work. You're going to have cold and sore elbows every single morning. The concrete is hard, man. Encounter with eternity. There must be a Damascus road where God slaps you off your horse and say, now, who are you? Lord, who are you? And like God says this morning, he must open your heart and he wants to come in and give you life and eternity. Then Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. Guys, our sins separated us, but our sins is also death. Our sins is separation from God. But it says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not in a method, not in a church, but in Christ himself. There is hope for us. That's why Christ came to die for us. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Amen? He's the only one that took our place upon the cross. Isn't that amazing? But the sad thing for us today is so many of us want to pay for our own sin. We want to look like good Christians. We want to be so religious and so of an example to the community that we want to live this upright and proper lives, pleasing other people. And we are called as Christians only to please Jesus himself. We're called to please Christ. And Jesus is the only one that could satisfy the wrath of God. Amen? If your life is outside Jesus, you are in danger of the wrath of God. We never hear this. We always talk about the love of God. But guys, there's a judgment day coming. And that God will be a judge on that day. He must be. He's a good God. He doesn't want to send us to hell, but he needs to if we haven't made right with him. If we haven't received the gift of eternal life that is in Christ. Amen? So our sins separate us from God. Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. And look at this, 2 Corinthians 5 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Guys, I want to tell you, the cross is all about Jesus taking our place. Amen? Say after me, the cross of Jesus is all about him taking my place upon the cross. Each of us was destined to die upon a cross. But Christ came. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for Jesus. Amen. So the central theme of the cross is Jesus taking our place. He substituted our place. He paid our sins because his blood was holy. He satisfied the wrath of God. And guys, the good news is when we receive this gift of God, then the Bible says he removes our sin as far as the... Hallelujah. God has no more memory of your wrong against him. That's what the cross did in God's eyes for you and for me. Amen. Look at what David says. David echoes this sentiment. He says, blessed are is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Isn't that amazing? Blessed are you when your sins are covered. But nowadays we can say blessed is when it is removed as far as the east is from the west. Blessed are you. You are either blessed or cursed. Amen? But guys, the gospel isn't only our payment, it's also the central message of our freedom. We can't be free if we carry our own burden of our own sins. Amen. You can't be free. You can't live in the fullness that Christ has died for us. Look at what Galatians 5 says, a powerful scripture. For the freedom that Christ has set us free, stand firm therefore and do not submit yourself again to slavery. Now Paul is talking here to Christians, again to the church of Galatia. He says, it is for freedom, church, that Christ has died for you. Freedom from what? From sin and the penalty of sin and the destiny of sin. But he said, listen here, be careful. Don't fall into this yoke of the law again. Be free from the law, please. The law can't save you. There's no righteousness in the law itself. Righteousness comes by Christ, in Christ alone. He took our place. God made him a new notion to become sin for us so that we can come what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? It's for freedom, guys. Freedom from this law of sin and death. Freedom from the law of cursing. Freedom from the law of whatever is negative in your life. Christ came to give you the spirit of life and life in eternity. Amen? The spirit of Christ is the spirit of freedom. But that's what the cross wants to bring into our lives. So Jesus paid our price, guys. He took our place. He paid our price. And he gave us life and freedom. Amen? The first thing, the cross, means of the cross is freedom and the payment of our sins. The second thing, Romans 5:8. Look at this. Amazing scripture. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Amen? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still lost, while we weren't looking for Jesus, God did something amazing. The great exchange. Amen? Guys, God is so good. Amen? He is so, so good. Who can say that often? God is good. He did amazing things for you and for me. And this morning, I forgot to mention this, but this week I was reading in Mark, and it's just something about God's character. The first time struck me. Mark 1 verses 29 and 30. Jesus came out of the synagogue, and he went to sleep at the guy's name, house named Simon and his brother. And we all know Jesus went from city to city, did miracles, feeding the nations, the multitudes, and did wonderful things. And something struck my eyes. He went into this lady's house. The disciples told him about the mother, and Jesus went and healed her. She never fall upon her knees and said, Jesus, Savior, heal me of my sickness. Jesus, out of his goodness, just went to her and touched her. I just thought, God, I've never saw this side of you. I always thought we must first ask and beg you before stuff. But no, God is saying, I am so good. I'm so merciful. I want to be good in your life. I want to come and touch you, even though you aren't looking for me. While we're still sinners, while we were lost in our sins, blinded by our sins, God came and God did a wonderful work. God sent his only begotten Son. Amen? The wonderful heart of Jesus. Look at this scripture, 1 John 4. In this, the love of God has been made manifest among us. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but he had loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins or the payment for our sins. Guys, the second thing, the rest of the cross, is a demonstration of the love of God. You can't understand the love of God outside the cross of Christ. If you haven't had a revelation of what Christ did for you and for me upon the cross, when you can say, like Paul, I want to know nothing except Jesus and him crucified. Amen? Guys, the cross is the expression of God's goodness to us. The cross is the demonstration and the manifestation of the love of God to us. Why do you think is it a demonstration? Why is the cross a demonstration of the love of God? Why do you think that? Funny idea. But it's because God didn't only talk about it, but he showed it through Jesus. We need to understand that love is an action word. Love isn't something God spoke about. Oh, I love you so much. Yes, a fact. I just love you. God proved his love to us by doing what? Sending his best. Sending his best to me and to you. I mean, look at John 3. We all know John 3. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave us his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Guys, God's love is not a sentimental liefde. It's not a second-hand down payment love. It's the best love. It's a sacrificial love. It cost God something to save you and me. It cost him his Son. It cost him his Son's life. The Bible says there was darkness over the earth when Jesus died. There was separation between Jesus and his Father for the first time in eternity. Think about that. The tombs of the dead just jumped open. The rocks just split in two. It was havoc upon that day. But God was still in control. Hallelujah. Amen. The love of God. The cross is the demonstration of the love of God. And Pastor Fred always says this statement, you only love for that which you're willing to sacrifice for. And God so loved the world that He sacrificed His Son for you and for me. God really loves us, people. Many of us here is married. But in marriage, this thing gets nailed into you every single day. If you tell your wife every single day, honey, I love you, and you go to work. Honey, I love you, she's going to lay down, like my wife, get so frustrated. Because that's not enough. Prove it, husband. Prove it, Yakuki. Prove it. Show it to me, baby. Yeah. Our wives want roses or flowers or chocolate. They want to see that you sacrificed for them. Amen? It doesn't help me. I tell her, listen, I love you so much, I'm going to buy some flowers. And it never comes. It's going to break her heart. Amen? Prove that you love her by bringing the flowers and kissing her. Amen? Theo knows about this. The love of God. God did the same. I said, no, He didn't send us a fax. He sent His Son. His Son to live among us, to show us what love is. Amen? And the ultimate expression was the cross of Christ. But look at this word. Guys, God's heart according to love. He says, He sent His Son that whoever believes that should not perish. Guys, God's heart and God's love is that none of us should perish. Who in your family is busy perishing? Who in our communities is perishing? Is our heart really burning with the love of God? And the truth is, guys, if we reject the love of Christ on the cross, we reject God Himself. Principle, if you reject the giver, the gift, you reject the giver. We reject Christ, we reject God Himself. The Bible says that all over again. If you reject the doctrine of Christ, you reject God Himself. Don't reject the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen? And every time, guys, that we see the cross, remind us of the wonderful love of God. Every time you think about the cross, say, God, thank you that you love me so much. You know, guys, I realize in my life, Christianity is not what I can do for God. It's not, the gospel isn't about how much I can love God. We read here 1 John 4, it's about how much He loves me. Gospel is about what God did for me and for you. Amen? And just to open our hearts like this morning, the song said, Brian said, and receive that and walk in that fullness of God. Amen? Not the cross demonstration of the love of God. Then the third thing, Philippians 4, the cross is a call to sacrifice. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Paul is speaking to the church. Who though he was in form of God, a form of God, had not counted equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of a man. Having been found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Guys, Jesus is our example of sacrifice. Amen? And the cross is all about the great sacrifice that took place. The cross isn't only the sign of love and the sign of forgiveness. The cross is also the sign of sacrifice. Jesus taking our place, dying for us. The cross is the ultimate sacrifice of God. Amen? The Bible says God sacrificed Jesus once for all. He's not going to do it again. Amen? The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. And I just want to mention this here, is that for too long in the church, and we must please move our minds away from this, for too many of us, the cross and the gospel, the good news, has become about us, about me, about a self-improvement exercise, about a better myself in 5 steps to become a better you. That's not the gospel. That's not the Christ. That's not the cross. The cross is all about self-sacrifice, denying yourself every single day. That is the essence of the gospel. But we want to be superstars and superheroes for God. Amen? And when I read 1 Corinthians 3, it's not on the board. Paul is making an argument. The church is saying, "But you, who baptized you?" He said, no, it wasn't Apollos. Who found you? Was it Christ? Was it I? Was it Paul? All these different names. He said, listen here, we are nobodies. God gives the increase. God belongs all the glory. Our calling is to become a nobody. How great is that? Let's boast in that. Amen? Then God can receive all the glory. We're called to be mirrors, guys, to just stand and reflect the love and the grace and the glory of God to a broken world. Amen? being accessible for people to touch. Like Jesus, he was walking and people just came and touched him. God healed, delivered, demons screamed, "You are the Son of God." He said, "Shh, don't. Wherever he went, he was accessible to people. We must live the same lives, but through sacrifice. Amen? The cross and the gospel is all about self-sacrifice. And look at this challenge that Jesus is giving us as a church. Luke 9. He's saying the same thing. And he said to them all, to all of us, "If anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will leave it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses and fortifies himself?" And the scripture goes on. Guys, we're sitting in a culture where it's all about self-preservation. Me, myself, and I, and my comfort. Amen? We want to save ourselves, but this is the great exchange. The moment you lose yourself, you will gain life. The great exchange. The moment you say yes to Christ, he gives you life. The great exchange. What are we holding on? What are we treasuring, like Theo said? That's keeping us away from dying, from becoming nothing. God is calling us. He says, whoever wants to follow me must deny himself. Deny means you must say no to your ideas, your plans, your desires, your dreams, and say, God, yes to your plans, your desires, your will in the Bible for me. I've never read in this, what is God's plan for my life. This book is about what is God's plan for me in his will for my life. It's not my will according to God, according to myself. It's God's will. It's God's plan for my life according to his will for my life. Because he called me and saved me for his glory, amen? And not for myself, amen? So the cross is filled with sacrifice. And that is the only way we can follow Jesus. And this morning somebody asked me afterwards, "But Nayaku, now can't I have ambition? Can't I pursue business or all these lovely things in the world?" And I said to him, "Yes, you can." And I thought about this afternoon. It's like the following. Denying yourself sacrifice is like a horse. You get wild horses and broken in horses. Wild horses running and doing whatever they want to do, wherever they want to do it. Have you ever seen a wild horse? I had the opportunity once in my life to drive to Hermanus through Kleinmond. And there's this mont, you know, where Arabella is. And that's now 15 years ago, there was like 12 wild horses running there. And once we walked that beach and we saw them, they are magnificent animals. But they're wild. They run, they do whatever that they want to do. They only follow instinct. And that's what God is saying. To deny yourself, to sacrifice, is to say, "God, I'm a broken in horse. My will is submitted to your will. You've got the first call upon my life. I want to do this, God, but no. You're saying to me now, left here, left here." A wild horse listens to nobody. And God wants to break us in. The church is too much about, there's too much flesh in the church. I'm smelling too much flesh. Worldliness among us. God wants that to die so the Spirit can rise. Amen? And this, guys, this sentiment is echoed by John the Baptist and Paul himself. John said in John 3:30, says, "I must become less and Christ must become more. He must increase and I must decrease." All about denying himself. Never once did John say, "No, he said, I'm the guy." He always testified it. John is such an example of a lifestyle of denying yourself. He said, no. "Who are you, John? No, I'm not the prophet. I'm only the voice in the wilderness, giving glory unto the man that comes after me. He's much more worthy than I am." Paul is saying further on in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "I die, my mission is to die daily." Paul had this thing in his heart, he understood that I need to deny myself every single day to be able to follow Christ. The cross is a call to sacrifice, guys. And every person needs to come to the foot of the cross and to say, "Not my will, but your will be done." Guys, Jesus is the example of sacrifice. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was challenged with his own will. Say, "Father, please, if this cross would just pass me. But Lord, I'm broken in. Not my will, but your will be done." Amen? I'm calling us all tonight to come to the foot of the cross to make right with God tonight. That's God's way for all of us, church. You're not going to grow in Christ if you first come to the cross and deny yourself. Only then will the great exchange take place. Amen? Then the last thing. The cross is also the pathway to salvation. Look at Colossians 2. Amazing scripture. It says, "You were dead because of your sins." We've covered that. "And because of your sinful nature," we've covered that, "was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ." Amen. Hallelujah. "For he forgave our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross of Christ. Isn't that an amazing promise? But look at that. We were dead, but Christ made us alive. He died for us. But he says there were charges, there were things written against us, but God took them and nailed them unto a cross. Guys, salvation lies at the foot of the cross. Salvation is the essence of the cross. God wanted to redeem the whole world. Not only a few bunch of us to be super holy. God's salvation is available for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, says the Bible. It's as far away as saying, Jesus, save me. There's a story about, we all know the towers of 9/11, a documentary I read from the guys of the Delirious Band. Some of their friends, they were standing on, say the 80th floor, I can't remember the exact floor, but as they were jumping, the people that survived heard and just go, Jesus, save me. Obviously, they fell into misery. But those guys, I believe, is saved. They call upon the name of Christ. The Bible is the truth. Amen? What amazing testimony, guys. But guys, the cross is not only the symbol of love and sacrifice. It's a symbol of God's salvation. It was on the cross that our pathway to salvation was cleared. Our pathway to God's salvation was cleared. Guys, look at that. It says there, our pathway to God was full of stuff. It was full of charges and sins and handwritings against us. Our pathway was blocked. But our pathway through the cross was cleared. Amen? That is the good news. It was on the cross that our victory was won. And what happened on the cross was like a bulldozer clearing the dirt and rubble to make the road. The cross cleared a path between us and God. Guys, the cross of Jesus is like a bulldozer that came in to reopen the path to the heart of the Father. Amen? Let's shout hallelujah. That's good news. Thank God for his bulldozer. Sounds funny, but that's what the cross did. You see, guys, the cross is God's bulldozer. I said it dealt with our sin and the punishment for it. Look at, and also the Bible echoes this. It says in John, in Luke somewhere, it says that the veil was torn. Jesus came to dealt with everything that stood between us and him. The veil, those religious stuff that kept us out of the presence. God says, my presence is accessible to whosoever. You can walk in, you can cry Jesus and come into his presence. We all fell it tonight. Amen? The veil was torn, the way was open. So guys, there's no longer a separation between man and God. The path has been cleared. Hallelujah. There's no more separation between you and God. There's no more excuse that you can't say, I can't know God anymore. There's no reason you can't say, I have no more hope. We always have hope. God is our hope. Amen? So maybe you're this evening in a difficult situation. I don't know, financial, emotional, but God is your hope. And God's hope does not disappoint. Amen? Does not disappoint. The way has been cleared. Look at what God says. What is this way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the way, guys. There is a way into the heart of God. Only one way. Not like the people said in Galatia and all these different things today. There's only one way to God. And let's stick to that. So God made a way for us when there seemed to be no way. Amen? God made a way for us to seem there seemed to be no way. But the bad news for tonight is there's only one obstacle in our path that God can't remove. Your will. What is the only thing God can't remove in this pathway? He did it. He did as much as he can upon the cross. But one thing, he stands back and says, I can do nothing. You and me. Our choice. And God is calling us people as a church to come to a place of surrender. So that we can get out of the way. That's what I mean when I said by brokenness. And say, God, here I am. I surrender. Your way, God. I'm going to follow your way. Your way is Jesus. Your way, your life is Jesus. Don't look for life somewhere else. Look to Jesus, people. God wants you tonight to surrender the only obstacle that keeps his way blocked. It is your will. It is your choices for him or against him. Amen? Every single day. Guys, we need to get saved every single day. God, have mercy for me. Help me today, God. An act of humility, an act of desperation for Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's exercise that, church. Amen? So guys, the cross, lastly, gives us an invitation to have life because Christ has risen. Amen? The cross is the invitation to life. It's a path, but it's also in this. And we heard tonight, God is calling us. He's calling us to Himself as a church. Come and have life. Have more of me because I am your life. I am your life. I want you to have life through me and me alone. Not on our backup plans. Amen? Look at what Jesus said in John 10:10. He says, there's a thief. There's a thief, guys. And his mission is to kill, to steal and destroy you. To take you off this path that God has cleared for you and for me. Jesus is saying in this chapter that I am the shepherd. I want to shepherd you back on this road. But I'm here to give you life and life in abundance. But there is an enemy. He wants to distract you and keep you busy with all lots of rubbish. But God's saying, follow me, I'm the way. Amen? 1 John 5, look at this. It says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. That is the equation. Isn't that simple? The equation is, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Jesus today is standing here to us as a church. He's offering us life. He's offering us intimacy. He's offering us a new beginning. There's a new beginning for all of us every single day with God. If you messed up yesterday, today you can start afresh. Amen? His mercy is new every single day. So guys, the cross means an open door to the Father's heart. And He's calling us. We heard tonight. He's calling us. The door has been opened. Jesus is knocking, but we must open. But the biggest door of salvation is opened in the helm of eternity. There's no more separation between us and man. So the great exchange. I just want to recap. We said the first thing, the message of the cross is freedom. Amen? The message of the cross is freedom from our sins. Guys, we can't have life. We can't have freedom in any other place. Isn't that true? Then we said the message of the cross is the demonstration of the love of God. It's also the very life of God. And it's also the open door, the invitation into the heart of the Father. May we go as a church from the day onwards and defend the message of the gospel. Amen? May we lay down our lives and say, God, whatever it's going to take, I'm going to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow you. Amen? So the great exchange, the cross, people, was the great exchange. His sorrow for our joy. Think of this. His beauty for our ashes. His death for our life. And His moment without God for our lifetime with God. A moment without God for our lifetime with God. Isn't that a great invitation? Darkness was there for a moment. But now there's open door that darkness will never be. Amen? So let's just all close our eyes in this place. And I want to ask us, are we going to be obedient tonight to the call of Jesus, which invites us to open our hearts? The way you open your heart is by being bold. Open your heart by saying, Jesus, here I am. I admit I don't have you. I admit I don't have the testimony of God, which God says, I gave Him my Son and my Son is life. You admit that. We first start by admitting and say, God, I'm not where I should be. And then we respond. Then we take a bold step and we say, God, here I am. Save me, deliver me, heal me, bring me back to your heart. Amen? Guys, I've got so strong in my heart tonight that many of us here has drifted away from the secret place of the Most High God. Many of us is neglecting the place where we can sit at the foot of the cross. Many of us has become Marthas, running around, being so busy for the Lord, doing so many other stuff, thinking it's pleasing the Lord. Yes, it may, maybe it won't. But the Lord is calling us tonight and say, stop drifting. He's inviting us to climb upon this tram and to follow Him, to enjoy the ride. I was so this week again convicted about the call of Noah, which says, come, he was walking to all the people of the world and he's saying, get in the ark, the rains are coming. Guys, I want to tell us prophetically, God is coming back. Jesus is on His way, He's coming back. Get in the ark, get in the safe place which is in Christ. In Christ is our safe place. But many of us here is drifting. Many of us obviously stand with one foot in the ark and the other foot in the mud. And God tonight wants to rain upon you and want to bring you back in the safe place. All our eyes are closed, please. I'm going to ask us, have we embraced the cross of Christ for our own lives? Paul is saying, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I live in faith in the Son of God who died for me and who gave himself for me. Church, can you truly say like Paul, I've been crucified with Christ? Can you identify with that calling of, Lord, not my will, but your will? So I want to make just a call and ask, who of us here, simple, does not have Jesus Christ in their lives? Who of us does not have the Son of God living on the inside? His desires becoming our desires. If that is you, I just want you to, stick up your hand for God to see and for me to see. Is anybody here that is not inside the ark, inside the safe place which is in Christ Jesus? You are not sure that if you walk out here and tonight there's a robbery and you die, that you will not be with Christ. If there's anybody unsure of his eternal salvation with Jesus, then I want you to slip up your hand because God wants to give you assurance of eternity. Be bold, church, be bold. Jesus died a bold death upon the cross. It wasn't shameful, it wasn't in a room, in a corner in Jerusalem, it was in the open, wide open. Because he loves us. That's all of us. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. We thank you, Father, that your conviction is in this place, Lord, and we thank you that church is only going to start right now. We thank you, Father God, that you want to meet, I believe you want to meet specific needs here tonight, Father. As all of us has tasted and seen that you are good. Lord, we thank you for the cross of Jesus. Lord, tonight we say, God, it's not foolishness to us anymore. Amen. But it is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you, Father, that your name is above every single name, Lord. In Jesus' name. I just feel in my heart that many of us here are not experiencing the freedom we're supposed to experience in Jesus. Many of us are not experiencing the love of God as we're supposed to experience the love of God. Maybe some of us here feel neglected. We feel rejected by God. He doesn't give me attention. I cry out to him. He doesn't hear my praise. If that is you in any way, I want you to come to the front. We want to pray with you because God's love is raining down through Christ Jesus upon us all. We just need to step out from underneath the roof into his reign. Amen. And if you are drifting this morning, this evening, as a Christian, drifting just a slightest way away from that intimate place with the Lord, then I want you to come to the front as well. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. As I'm speaking, let's just respond. Sir, what is your name? With a green. I believe the Lord is calling you. I believe I'm going to be honest with you. You have been drifting. God is so strong in my heart. He's got a calling on your life. I don't know you, but the Lord loves you. He's got better things in store for you than what you're busy with now. And he's saying, draw close to me. Amen? Come to him. The door is wide open. Come, surrender yourself. Amen? Stop with all the arguments in your head. What about this and this and that? Just surrender. Say, Jesus, I don't understand, but as I go, he's going to make a way. Amen? Thank you, Father. Church, I believe tonight the Bible says that he brought our iniquities and our diseases, and by the stripes of Jesus is healed. I believe God wants to heal a few people here tonight. I've got in my heart, especially somebody who struggles with psychiatric pains in your lower back and in one of your legs. You've got constant referral pains in your lower back and psychiatric nerves. I don't know, but there's pain back here and in your leg, referring pain, something to do with your nervous system. There's somebody like that. I want you to come to the front. We want to anoint you, pray for you. God is going to heal you tonight. Amen. Is there somebody like that with healing pains? Please come to the front. Then I sense there's somebody here that has got problems with their eye nerve. You struggle to focus, or your eye doesn't seem so well. There's problems with your sight or with the function of your eyes. I'm not sure who that is. God wants to tonight open some blind eyes. If you've got a problem with your eyes, if there's any serious medical thing with your eyes, God wants to do that in your life. And then I believe, God, the third thing God showed me on my heart, there's a man here in business that I'm just seeing a paper that came upon your table, and somebody wants you to make an agreement with something which is not right. God is saying tonight to you is, don't sign that paper. Don't sign that agreement. It's going to cost you more than you can actually think now. The prospects are amazing, but don't sign it. Witness rather than sign. Amen. So guys, let's just close our eyes. We're going to continue. If there's anybody that needs physical healing, then we want to pray for you. I've called out a few people. I feel God laying on my heart. If you've got any recurring pain, whatever, please respond. It is in your act of faith that God is going to heal you. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, and that your word, God, can be accompanied with signs and wonders, Lord. Tonight, Lord, we just thank you for what you've done. And we just want to, I want to just bless your church, Lord, and thank you, God, for every person that came, Lord, to be equipped by your word. Lord, I want to speak a blessing over them in this week. I want to speak, Lord God, life forevermore over them, Lord. I want to speak your peace and your rest over them, Lord. And I ask that you will make your face to shine upon them, and you will lift your countenance over them, Father. May you be a glory cloud over them by day and a pillar of fire over them at night. In Jesus. And Father, I thank you for your favor upon them. Your favor, Lord God, which is like a shield around us to be with them, God. Where they go, Father, they are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And thank you that you go before them, Lord, and you'll straighten every crooked way. Raise up every valley and lower every hill and lift up every valley for them, Father, in the name of Jesus.